today as we come to the table.
A lot of people that try to follow the law, that is within the church, that is believers, is because they haven't grown into full maturity in Christ yet. Listen, I remember as a young believer giving my life to the Lord and trying my best to do everything that would make God happy. And although I wasn't trying to follow the law, so to speak, I was putting myself under the law. And I was trying to please God by that. God had to grow me beyond that and say, Mark, it's not by what you do and not by what you don't do. It's simply a relationship with me. It's your love relationship to me. And not something that you do simply because you have to do it, but something that you do because you want to do it. And that's the key of growing into maturity.
When you were a kid, your parents had to teach you the rules. When you broke a rule, you probably had some type of punishment, so your motivation for following the rules was to not get into trouble. Now as an adult, you're no longer motivated to obey your parents out of fear, but because you love them. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches that as you mature in your relationship with Jesus, you're no longer motivated to follow His commands because you don't want to get in trouble. You obey Him because you love Him and want to do what makes Him happy. We encourage you to continue growing in your relationship with Jesus. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, as he begins his message, From Slaves to Sons.
If you have your Bibles, open them up. Galatians chapter 4. Going to be looking today at verses 1 through 7 and looking at the topic of from slaves to sons. Let's read these first few verses together so we have that foundation and then we'll jump into it. Notice chapter 4 of Galatians verse 1, Paul says this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's the master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the amazing promise of your word. It is so hard sometimes to fully grasp the promises that await us, Lord, because we have to live here for now. And while we live here, there's a lot of things that fog up our view. It blocks us, Lord, from seeing clearly the things you have laid out for us in the future and the promises that are there. And oftentimes, all we can see are the problems that currently surround us. And I pray today, Lord, that you would just get us to look beyond that and to see that, yes, while we may be to some degree, Lord, still slaves to this world, that we'd realize we've been set free in Christ. That we're not to live as slaves any longer. We're now free and we're walking, Lord, in you. And I pray you would let us as believers grasp that more fully today, that we might understand what it means to be a son in the family of God. But I pray also, Lord, that for those who don't know you at all, they've never been brought into the family and even struggling with the issue of freedom out from under the law, but they don't even know you yet, that today would be the day they would come to know you. So Lord, I ask that by the power now of your Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your Spirit on us, on this place. Lord, speak to your people, speak to those that are not yet your people, and let us understand what it means to be a member of the family of God. And we ask it in Jesus' name, Amen. Now, as we get into today and this whole looking at the law versus freedom, Paul will continue his theme of systematically dismantling the law as a means of obedience for the believer. I love this. Paul so tears apart the following of the law in the book of Galatians. By the time you're done, if you're truly paying attention, there's nothing left. He takes it apart piece by piece, and he does that on purpose, not again to discredit the law, not to say that God's word is not good in the law, but to simply say, this is not the way we please God and get to heaven. It is now through the cross, and you know that that's been the theme this entire time. But in doing so, he will illustrate one of the main purposes of the law in Scripture, and there's several main purposes. There's Scripture, the law being used as a mirror to show us who we are. The law is also used as a guide to the disobedient heart, secondly. And thirdly, the law is used as a guide or to show us that we're immature if we're trying to come under it. So the law is used many different ways in Scripture. That's by no means every way that it's used, but these are some of the focuses of the law. And today we're going to see that Paul's going to focus in on the immaturity aspect of the law and us growing into a full adulthood in Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says that the law was given. One of the main purposes was for those who are disobedient in order to keep them in line. And this goes to the world, keeping them obedient. It also goes to the believer who's not yet understanding the freedom they have in Christ. Paul writes this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And he says this, note this about the law. He says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. That is, if you're following the Lord, you don't need the law. But for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, like how Paul says, and whatever else falls under there, just push it under that whole thing, right? It's just anything that's unlawful to God. He says that's why the law is there. In other words, it's given as a boundary to keep mankind in line. You ever heard somebody say, I live by the Ten Commandments, right? Why do they try to live by the Ten Commandments? Why would anyone try that? Because the Spirit of God convicts all of us that we have to have boundaries and we're going to be accountable someday to someone for everything we do. And so God gives the law as a boundary for the unbeliever. And that's, again, the unbeliever, again, is brought in by the law because they realize this boundary. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And so it serves as a guard and a protection for mankind on the earth so that we don't just completely erupt into utter chaos. We already have enough of the things that, of the thou shalt nots that we're doing, right? What if there was no rule? What if there was no guideline? So the law is used to restrain even the unsaved in the world. But the problem is that the law is also oftentimes used in the believer's life under the feeling of guilt and restraining rather than freedom in Christ. And what Paul is going to be saying is that's not the purpose of the law. The law was given to restrain and to be a mirror to show us that we're evil, but then the law was to drive us to God, to set us free, and to bring us into spiritual maturity, which is the second reason I want to point out, really the main reason today in the law we want to point out, because this is what Paul's going to be dealing with in Galatians, and that is Paul will focus on today saying that basically the Galatians were facing the issue of these guys bringing the law back in, and it was a spiritual maturity issue. So you never think about the law that much, or at least I don't, as being a spiritual maturity issue. But what Paul is saying is, when it comes to the Galatians, and it comes to those that are coming in trying to get them back under the law once they've been set free in Christ, they're trying to bring you back into bondage as a child rather than taking you into maturity in Jesus Christ. And that is, Paul will show them that they focused, that those focused on following the law are simply revealing they are spiritually immature. Now note this. It doesn't mean that everybody that's following the law is spiritually immature. Some people do it and they know they're doing it, trying to lead people astray. Other people do it based on pride. They're just prideful and they think, you know, I follow the law and you don't and I'm better. But what Paul is saying is a lot of people that try to follow the law, that is within the church, that is believers, is because they haven't grown into full maturity in Christ yet. Listen, I remember as a young believer giving my life to the Lord and trying my best to do everything that would make God happy. And although I wasn't trying to follow the law, so to speak, I was putting myself under the law. And I was trying to please God by that. God had to grow me beyond that and say, Mark, it's not by what you do and not by what you don't do. It's simply a relationship with me. It's your love relationship to me. And not something that you do simply because you have to do it, but something that you do because you want to do it. And that's the key of growing into maturity. Not something we have to do, something we want to do. I find this quite ironic that Paul says that those who try to come under the law are oftentimes those that are immature. And why do I find this? Because my dealings in the past with those who want to follow the law or tell me that I need to be under the law or try to put you guys under the law, they oftentimes are those that are simply filled with pride and trying to talk about how mature they are and how we all need to follow them. You're not following the Sabbath. Well, it's time that you start obeying the Lord, this kind of thing. And there's this pride that comes with it. And really what Paul is saying is the person that does that, they're really the child. They're the one that's immature. They're the one that hasn't grown yet. Now, Paul's not saying this in a belittling way. You know, we can say things in the world, you know the term grow up. You know, we can say it in a very belittling way to somebody. And it's very obnoxious and it's very belittling. We should never do that as a believer. And Paul is not doing that here. But what Paul is saying is that I want you to grow up into the things of God so you're no longer bound by the things of the law, which were simply a guide to keep you in line until you became an adult. And he said, at that point, you're free in Jesus. And so, again, it's ironic, not only in that way, but again, this is what they were dealing with there in Galatia. Now, in order to fully understand Paul's illustration here in this passage, we need to take a moment before we get into it and understand the transition in this day from being a child to an adult among the Romans. And that is when Paul was writing to the Jews, or when Jesus used Jewish examples, he would use Jewish illustrations, something they would understand. Well, Paul was called to the Gentiles. So when Paul wrote, Paul would often use Roman illustrations. And what Paul is going to base this argument of today is Roman illustration of a child going, or someone coming from a child to an adult. And why would he do that? The Galatians were Romans. They were either Greeks or Romans. They weren't Jews. They were, for the most part, Romans. And the Jews were coming in now to try to make them Jews, if you will. So Paul's going to use this Roman example to give them a picture of what the law really is for the believer as compared to freedom in Christ. Immaturity to adulthood. You see, in that day, the Romans had an official time that they recognized when a son was an adult. And this is what Paul's referring to in this passage, and we're going to see him make reference to it, and it'll make more sense once you understand this. It wasn't so much a specific age as a time when the father recognized, my son's mature now. He's finally growing. And what they would do is they would have a ceremony when he recognized, all right, my son's an adult now. They would have a ceremony and they'd bring the son in, and he'd been a child until then. Now he's an adult. They'd put a robe on him representing now his maturity as an adult. They'd give him a ring, and it showed that not only are you now an adult, you're now an official. You already were an heir. You were going to inherit, but now you're worthy to inherit it. Now you're worthy to be an heir because you're acting as an adult and you moved into adulthood, no longer being a child. And so, again, it's probably the picture Jesus was using with the prodigal son there in Luke chapter 15. Remember when it says the immature son went off and lived the way the world lived? He was living in prodigal living, just wasting his money, living like the world lives. And it says when he came home, after he had come to himself, that is, he came to his senses, after he was broken by what the world did to him, he came home. And what does it say the father did for him? He gave him a robe and he gave him a ring. And there's a beautiful picture of that for us as believers today. When we give our life to Christ and fully turn it over, we're what? We're robed in a robe of righteousness. We put on Christ. And the Bible says that we have the seal of the Holy Spirit, which again represented that marriage to God, and on earth it's represented in a ring on the finger. So this whole picture of the robe and the ring and all that goes with that, it was a sign that someone had finally now grown up. They were mature. They're no longer living like the world and coming to the Lord because of that. You know, and again, I think it's interesting to see how the Jews dealt with the maturity issue as compared to Rome, because I think we have a real example of that today. And I think you'll know what I'm talking about when I say it. The Jews raised their children in the Word of God from the time they were born all the way up. And because of that, you would find in that culture, they matured a lot sooner. They knew the word, and those that are raised in the word, they grow up faster. You know, our founding fathers, it's interesting when you look back at our founding fathers and the emphasis they put on the Bible and how they raised their kids in the Bible and the founding fathers, how they used the Bible again as their guideline. Did you know, I've shared this before, but I have to share this when it comes up in my mind because it's so amazing. Our first ambassador to Russia was 14 years old. Imagine that. You're 14, and the president says, would you be our representative with our nation with a foreign country? Yes, sir, I will. Yeah, again, 14? Imagine a 14-year-old today trying to be a representative for our nation for anything. You know, like I said, just go to, you know, go to Weigel's, bring the milk back. Good job, right? Why? Because they were raised in the Word of God. And I found in the years of ministry, the families, you guys that raise your kids in the Word, your kids, they're mature. They're beyond their years in age. It's amazing to me. Now, take the Romans like I was. Again, I basically, you know, yes, I had the Bible around me, I had the church around me, but I chose the world. I chose to run off in the world. That was a choice that I made. But because I chose to run off into the world, I never did grow up. And even like 25 years old, I gave my life to Christ. And I remember coming to the Lord at 25 and thinking, I'm 25 years old and I'm a little boy. I can admit that now. I wouldn't really admit that as much then. But I can look back and ask, I was a little boy. Why? Because the Roman and Greek culture we have around us allowed me to be a little boy. I was allowed to play video games. I was allowed to goof off. Nothing wrong with video games. Don't get mad at me about video games. I'm talking about all day. No real job, no real life. This is the kind of culture that we have in America. And what happens is it freezes us in a state of childhood, immaturity. It's hard to find men in our culture today. It's hard to find women in our culture today. We find oftentimes children who act like children, even up in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. Why? Because our culture breeds that. There's nothing that makes us grow up. The Word of God makes us grow up. We face reality. We face eternity. We know we're going to stand before an almighty God one day, and we're expected to be productive. So in the Roman culture, you would have these, sometimes they, again, in the Jewish culture, at a certain age, you had your bar mitzvah. And you had your bat mitzvah. Why? They were raised in the Word of God. But in the Roman culture, they had no set date because they didn't know when their kid was going to grow up. Whenever their kid finally grew up in that Roman culture with all the toys and games and playing, when they finally became an adult, dad would say, now, finally, at 32, you know, he's grown up. Bring the robe, bring the ring, and they would put it on them, and they would have this thing. Now, here's the thing that's amazing. Again, typically it wouldn't go that late. I'm being silly and facetious, but to some degree. But what they would do is, in this day is, as you were growing, they had what they called a pedagogue. The pedagogue was an in-home teacher. In that day in Rome, there were some 60 million slaves. And so the Romans owned slaves. A huge portion of families in Rome actually owned slaves. And so what they would do is their slave would be their pedagogue. It means a teacher, someone that would raise the children, and they had to raise the children under the harshest, strict, disciplinary rules until they finally became an adult and grew into what they should be for the family as an heir. And so they would have these teachers. They watched them everywhere. Everything they did, all their friends, everywhere they went, everything they were involved in. Some of your parents go, that's what I need. I need a pedagogue. How do I get those today? Right? But the bottom line is that's what they would do. They were harsh disciplinarians. And so they watched over the child. And again, the children were really no different than the slaves in the family at that time. Although they had the inheritance waiting on them, they had no real rights yet. They were treated as a slave. They were treated about with the same rights that the slaves had. That was pretty much nothing until the father put the robe and the ring and gave them the official hand of adulthood. So that's why Paul's going to reference, once we get into this, about the comparison of a slave, and we talk about a slave to a son, because in that culture in that day, they saw the children really no different at that time as a slave until they became a full adult. And then there was that separation from slavery into sonship and being a part of the family. And this picture will become more clear as we get into the passage. But again, what a perfect picture of the law this is, because Paul's going to use this as a picture of the law, and that is this. Notice this. The law is a harsh disciplinarian, a pedagogue, that follows us around in conscience all the time, watching what we're doing until we're mature enough to obey, not because we have to, but because we want to. See, children obey when they're kids because they have to. They're going to get in trouble. I'm going to be disciplined in some way, right? And there comes an age where your child comes to a place where they're now an adult, and they don't do the dishes because they're going to get in trouble if they don't. They just want to bless mom and dad. You're still saying, still waiting on that day, Pastor. Just pray. Still waiting on that day. Whatever the case might be, listen, that's what happens with maturity. You begin to bless others because you want to be a blessing to them, not because you have to. Nobody's making you do this for them. You want to do it for them. And again, this is something that happens and was done again by that guy. So what God is saying is the law today is our pedagogue. What's the purpose of the law? It is your pedagogue. It is your personal harsh assistant who makes you do what's right and points out everything you do wrong and basically would make you miserable until finally one day you become an adult and say, I don't have to be under that anymore, and now you're free. And Paul's going to make the argument. You're putting yourself under this harsh disciplinarian called the law when the father has said, you're my kids. Walk in freedom. Walk in joy. The house is yours. All that belongs to me is yours. The kingdom is yours. Just realizing, I've been realizing lately more and more that the kingdom of God is mine. Now, again, I say that on a personal level because God's ministering that to me on a personal level. But we don't have to look around and go, you know, wow, look what they've got. Look what they've got. This is unbelievable. Wow, whatever. Listen, this is all a trial run. This down here is temporary. God, whatever God has given you, whatever resources you have, God is using it to mold and shape and form your character so that one day you're going to be able to wear a king's robe. And with the authority over the earth, with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning, it's yours. It's not like you're going to go visit some place to see it. It all belongs to you. You know, somebody comes in your house like, yep, this is my home, and that's my this, that's my that. You'll be able to say to anybody in the millennial kingdom, this is my world. It's my father's world, but it's my world too. And it's ours, and and we're all celebrating together because we're all going to be one big family ruling and reigning in this together. So Paul is making the point here that those who put themselves again under the law are not only still immature in the things of the Father, but they're living under a harsh guardian called legalism. And until this changes, they're not ready to walk in the full sonship of God, nor will they ever walk in freedom. Again, it's like, you know, you've just graduated spiritual college, Paul is saying is, and these guys are pulling you back into spiritual kindergarten. They want to take you back to the ABCs of the law when God is saying, walk in freedom and go out and be a witness to me, making disciples to the ends of the earth and enjoying the kingdom that the Father's given you. Not because you have to again, but because you want to. Well, let's jump into it because that was quite a long intro, but we needed it. Notice what he says here in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, now I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, here's that example starting, and they all would have known this. Remember, these are Romans he's writing to and Gentiles, Jews. He does not differ at all from a slave, though he's the master of all. He's still under that pedagogue. He's still under that harsh ruler, that harsh disciplinarian, but really he owns everything. He's just too immature now to take it for himself. And so he says, until we grow out of that, we can't walk in the inheritance that belongs to us. And so we have to first get past that place to move on to the next area. And this is interesting because how we view ourselves in light of this will tell us who we are in the Lord. And what do I mean by that? Note this. If we are only motivated to obey God based on the fear of what will happen if we don't obey him, we're still operating as a slave in relation to God rather than a son or a daughter.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a series from the book of Galatians, where we find many practical warnings for the church today. The church of Galatia had fallen prey to false teachings and adopted a very legalistic approach to their ministry. This news had gotten back to Paul, who was quick to pen the letter we read here and help them see the error of their ways. This experience made an impression on Paul and was added to the agenda for the upcoming meeting of the Jerusalem Council. This was such an impactful time for the early church that its example is used even now when dealing with issues of legalism. We hope as you've listened today, you've gained some direction in your life as well. Thanks for tuning in, and we'd like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15, and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we'd love for you to bring the whole family. Every time we gather is an opportunity to grow in what you're learning and experiencing with God. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. And if you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. Well, we're out of time for today, but we'll continue our verse-by-verse study through Galatians next time on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.